Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case.
It is Friday, May 6th. Welcome to Menace, Midday Menace, Menace to Sports, whatever you want to call it. We are, man, you talk about it. I don't even know what to say about today's show. An absolute shit show that is college football. I don't know what else to say about it. It is a shit show with Dabo Swinney's brother, the NCAA biting back on all this tampering, even more tampering. I mean, Zay Jones at Boston College is exposing schools, not by name, but just by situation. So much shit going on. And honestly, it's almost like beating a dead horse at this point, but there's some constants in life, right? In college football, there's a constant. There's several constants. One, Dabo Swinney is a fucking gee golly shucks weirdo, and it's even deeper now that his brother is a pedophile, had a bunch of kiddie porn. And you know, I don't know we don't know the details of it yet, but it's not like rape or domestic violence or even sexual harassment where there could be some interpretation. There could be a mistake. It could be wrongfully accused. Like child pornography is not something you didn't do, but get accused of, right? Like no one comes out and says Zach Smith likes kiddie porn. And then they come to find out, mm-hmm. It's like, no, it was a mistake. It was a young-looking 19-year-old. Like, what are you talking about? No one ever gets falsely accused of child pornography. So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about everything going on right now. But I wanted to start, Chris, with this clip from Senator Blackburn, as she just absolutely destroyed Mark Emmert and the NCAA. I want you to listen to this. So here she is right here talking about the NCAA and how bad they screwed it up. Let me make sure the volume's up. All right, here you go.
We thought the NCAA was going to be able to step forward and set the rules and had said to the NCAA, if you cannot do this, we will do it for you. That is the posture in which we find ourselves right now, is the inability of an organization that makes a tremendous amount of money, whose leadership is paid a tremendous amount of money, and it is all coming from the student-athlete events, but yet the inability to move to a point of decision has just been an insufferable event for so many of these student athletes and their parents. This is why the states have taken it upon themselves to do what the NCAA has proven incapable of doing.
Like, wow. I mean, you can't say it any better. You really can't say it any better. The NCAA has screwed this up so bad that politicians are calling out their incompetence. Politicians, the most incompetent, corrupt people in the world, are calling out the fact the NCAA, they could not have screwed it up anymore. And it's one of those things. She hit a great point. Like, where the fuck is all this money going? Like, what are you paid for? Like, why are you even employed? Why do you get a salary? Why is that money going to the NCAA and going to those people? She hit the nail on the head. I see Josh said in the comments, and it's so true. Just absolute incompetence and embarrassment. And it gets even deeper today. Yesterday, I believe it was, the NCAA came out. Let me read it to you. New NIL guidelines that they're going to put out. They're going to put out new NIL guidelines, right? New guidelines, because they didn't put out any before. They will be retroactive, meaning schools with boosters who communicated with players before they were in the portal will be sanctioned. It's like, what? How can you put out new guidelines and sanction schools for not following the guidelines that weren't fucking out when they did it? It's just, yes, it's tampering. Yes, it's illegal, but you can't put out a new guideline and be like, wait a minute, you violated this guideline. You just put the shit out. But it's the incompetence at the NCAA is, every time I think it can't get any more incompetent, it can't get any more worse, it can't get any more embarrassing, they do some shit like this and you're like, what? It did. It got more incompetent.
It's like when children are losing a game and they change the rules because they're losing a game. That's what it is. I mean, the NCAA screwed this up so bad that it's criminal. And we're getting to a point where it's like, what have they been doing all this time? I mean, I got sent a tweet to me about, you know, Mark Emmert talking about the hundreds of people in the NCAA trying to do the right thing, fighting for the students, yada this, yada that, yada this. What's one good thing they've done, Zach? Like, what have they gotten right?
I mean, it's been a long, long time. I mean, reducing the scholarship limit to 85 was excellent because you had teams like Alabama and you know, the big powerhouses would have 150 kids on scholarship. And so they were, you know, it really depleted the pool for the smaller schools. So I think that was a good rule. I mean, we're talking about a long time ago when they made a decision and a rule that I think positively impacted the game. Mm-hmm. I think that the concussion studies and the focus on concussions is huge. I think they've done a great job at focusing attention on that. I think they've completely fucked up the application or prevention of concussions. You know, some of these rules have made the game impossible to play almost, but the focus is there, right? The intent is there. They've done a lot they really haven't. The NFL has done a lot with youth football and trying to, you know, keep and grow that level of football and grow the education level. I mean, I coached my son's tackle football this last year. And the NFL, they gave us a tool. And, you know, granted, I know football pretty damn well, but they gave us a tool. And it was basically the NFL had these experts, football experts, teaching you all the basic fundamentals so you could, and giving you drills so you could teach it to the kids. No different than what I'm doing with Zone 6. It's the same thing. Zone6.com. Go check it out. It is high level fundamentals getting taught properly to you so that if you're a player, you can get better. If you're a coach, you can coach it better. And if you're a parent, you can help your child do it the proper way. That's what the NFL did. It's an awesome tool. It was mostly about tackling, which is huge. It didn't get into fundamentals of offensive line or receiver or anything like that. But for tackling, it was excellent. And so the NCAA, in my lifetime, or not my lifetime, but I'll say since I started coaching college football in 2005, I don't know that they've done any good.
There's never been an organization in the history of the United States. There's never been an organization that has done a bad job for so long, but still been kept around and been able to make significant amounts of money. The issue with the NCAA is all of the money that is made like for them is not done by any of the people that work at the NCAA. So it's asinine because they can have bad practice and do a shitty job and still things keep coming in because the product will sell itself. Like, Zach, if a corporation was run the way NCAA was run, they would be shut down so quick because you can't have decades on decades of bad decision-making and bad leadership anywhere else in America.
Well, except for the U.S. government.
Yeah, except for in politics. My
except for the government, sorry. Which is the worst. I mean, honestly, the worst leadership and organization and the most corrupt and fucked up thing. I mean, I guess not in comparison with the world, but I mean, if we're talking about just leadership and an organization as a whole, I saw a stat and I put it on my Instagram. I thought it was hilarious. Like, only in America could an organization that is $30 trillion in debt give you a credit score. Like, what are we talking about? What's the U.S.'s credit score? Zero?
It's like, bitch, what's your credit score?
Who the fuck are you saying I can't get a car? Who the fuck are you? How can you get a car?
Yeah, you can't get a car. That's just crazy.
Like, I can't get a house loan because I got a 620 credit. What the fuck is your credit score, government? Like, it's just, right. It's a joke. Holy. But that the NCAA falls right in line with the U.S. government, right? And here we are.
It's like, what if the menace, what if your company had terrible leadership, terrible decision-making, terrible everything? See, you wouldn't have a company. It'd be gone.
Well, you wouldn't make any money, right? You wouldn't monetize it. No one would watch. No one would listen. Like, you'd be making dumbass decisions all the time. Like, it only works in governing bodies that are, they just have to be there, right? It's not a competitive environment. There's not multiple leagues. There's not multiple governments, right? There's no reason that the NCAA needs to be any good. It's a lot like the Big Ten administration, right? The Big Ten conference, Kevin Warren, like, if he sucks, who really cares? Like, maybe they'll get rid of him eventually, but it doesn't matter. There's going to be a Big Ten conference corporate office. There's going to be a commissioner of the Big Ten. If he sucks, he sucks. And it's going to hurt everybody, but it's not like the Big Ten is going to go away. I mean, I guess to an extent, the Big 12 is, but And even in that example, I guess it's not a great example because there is other conferences, right? You're seeing it now. Like the Big 12 didn't do a good job of increasing their product and their financials. So Texas and Oklahoma said, listen, we're carrying this conference. We're out. We dipped. Mm-hmm. That's what the NCAA needs. We need a fucking another, like the AFL needs to start, or the AFC, the NFL started. I mean, we need to have a second option and then let teams go back and forth and pick the best one. And then eventually, guess what? That competition will approve the NCAA. It will force them to make decisions. Fuck if they're the right decisions.
Then your job matters. Yeah, then your job matters.
And then if both of them are doing well, you could have a merger like the NFL had when the AFC and NFC came together. The problem right now is it's a complete monopoly on college athletics, and Mark Emmert is a fucking clown. How he got there is mind-blowing to me. And everyone that makes decisions there, they're all fucking accountants and like former, like, I don't even know, hospitality management people. Yeah, like what? Like what is? I'm telling you right now, put a fucking big time smart football coach as the president of the NCAA. Watch what the fuck happens. So many decisions will change. So many, and it'll always be in the best interest of the people, the kids, the players, the coaches, not the bottom line, not, you know, the easiest path. That's a lot of times what the NCAA did. That's what they did with NIL. They're like, what's the easiest path? Fuck it. Have at it. We're out. That's what they said. Now they're like, oh shit, we're about to destroy the sport. Now we got to be Tommy Tough Guy. And it's comical. It's truly comical. And we are watching something that I think is probably the most passionate thing in American sports, which is college football. I don't know a more passionate sport or level. We are watching it. The demise of it, or the decline of it, right in front of our eyes. And basically the NCAA saying, uh-oh, we really fucked this up. Like, this is going to destroy the sport.
Yeah, it's bad. No, it's bad, and they know it. And they're in a tricky spot because they're, I mean, USC, like, what are they going to do to USC? Because really, this felt like a warning shot, Zach, to USC. And are you think they're bluffing or not?
Well, there's a couple things here. Can you prove it? Like, how did the kid find out that USC would pay him? Like, if you can't prove it, it doesn't matter. Unless you're Ohio State, because Ohio State will snitch on themselves.
Sing like the birds, baby.
Doug Archie will be like, we actually told him $3 million. We told him we'd pay him money and we'd get him prostitutes. It's like, Jesus, Doug, shut the fuck up. Don't tell people. You know what I mean? Just deny. So USC, unless you can prove it, doesn't matter. But even Zay Flowers, the receiver at Boston College, came out and said he had two different NIL offers to transfer, $600,000 and $300,000. And he turned them both down because he wanted to stay at Boston College. But, I mean, that kid's not just making that up, right? That really happened. Are you going to be able to prove it? I doubt it. Because how are you going to prove it? I mean, you have to have a paper trail. Yeah. The only way is if you're as dumb as Ohio State was and you're emailing back and forth about it, right? Those kids got tattoo gate and they're fucking emailing about it. Like, geez, pick up the phone and call or come see somebody in person so there's not a paper trail. Like, there's no way that you're going to find out about it. And so if you can't find out about it, can't prove it, nothing happened, right? It's like I saw in the comments earlier, Ohio State gets in their fencing program and all these other programs get in trouble with the NCAA. The LSU basketball coach was on wiretap admitting to offering money to recruits and nothing happened. Why? You can't prove what he said it. That doesn't mean it's real. That doesn't mean he did it. He could say I was lying. I was showing off. Unless you can prove it, or the guilty party just flat out admits it, a la Doug Archie, what are you going to do? You can't penalize them. They're not going to cooperate with an investigation. You're not going to find shit out. And that's the reality.
Well, that's my
None of this
question.
Is going to go anywhere. None of it.
What about the boosters? NCAA's talking about if we find out a booster talks to anybody, we're going after them. It's like,
what are you going to do to the booster? What are you going to do to the booster? The booster doesn't have to adhere to your guidelines, to the NCAA. Cool, man. Are you going to go after the booster? It doesn't make any sense. And I mean, the only thing that can happen is the booster can be excommunicated from the university. The university can basically say, hey, we don't want you to be a booster anymore. That doesn't mean he has any legal obligation to stop talking to kids and offering them deals. They're now legally allowed to benefit off their name, image, and likeness. And if fucking Bill Gates wants to make somebody the face of Microsoft, or I guess he's not even... He's not even Microsoft anymore. The World Health Organization or whatever Bill Gates runs now. He can do it. And nobody can tell him shit as long as he does it legally.
Fuck Bijan Robinson, Lamborghini.
That's fucking amazing, isn't it? That's the best NIL deal yet. Bijan Robinson lands an NIL deal with Lambeau. Yeah, I mean, Rick Reicher got to open up an exotic car store or something, because the F-150s are badass, but shit, it ain't a Lambo.
It ain't a Lambo.
We need to call the toy barn right now. Call the toy barn. Get them on the line. We need to start giving out Ferraris and Maseratis and shit.
We need Elon Musk in Ohio ASAP. That's what we need.
Just get ready for it. Schottenstein Exotic Cars opening fall 2022. He's going to buy a fleet.
need it. Zach, I want to move ahead a little bit. I did want to ask you, man, Dabo Sweeney's brother, OG Golly Shucks. They found this big underage porn file on his computer, right? And he was with intent to distribute. And like you said, that's one of those things that you don't just get falsely accused of.
Yeah, I mean, just a creepy looking group of fucking guys. I'm looking at them right now. I mean, and Dabo's brother, Christ, man, he looks like a pedophile. Good Lord. And his name is Henry Ervil. Ervil, like literally evil with an R thrown in there. So that's very fitting. But yeah, I guess it was a tip from the, was it National Center for Missing and Exploited Children? Someone tipped them off. So some South Carolina fan was like, wait a minute now, that's Dabo's brother.
Yeah.
And they called it in. And I guess I'm joking about it, but it's not funny at all. It's fucking repulsive. He should be beaten with a club. Just disgusting. The filth of the fucking earth. If anyone should just get bludgeoned to death, it is people that mess with kids. It really is. Child abusers, child pornography, all that. I mean, I don't even know. There's not a justice that is vile and painful enough for me than what they need to do. And I mean, I could go on tirades, but now that they're talking about pedophilia is it's a mental illness, or not a mental illness. What they say, as long as you don't act on it, it's okay. It's like, what the fuck? What is wrong with people? Yeah. Okay.
I'm someone with young siblings, Zach. There, nothing makes me angrier. It is extremely frustrating. Oh. You know,
you can put this into evidence right now for the future. If anyone ever touches my fucking kid, that'll be the last thing they ever do. I guarantee it. And I don't care if I go to prison forever. I don't care. If you touch one of my children, that'll be the last thing you ever do. Ever.
That's it. No, that's 100% it. I don't know how Dabo's going to G-golly shucks that one away. It is strange, because you think, like, family-wise, I like to think that I know the stuff that my siblings are into and the stuff that my close family is into. And it's just, it's insane to think that A, he could hide it, and B, the fact that this could go on so long for someone that's so high profile and intent to distribute. They're talking about selling it. It's like, that's someone, that's a family that should be pressed for money ever. So it's really disgusting and really sickening. All in. Anyway, want to move ahead a little bit. Do you see Ohio high schools, they're voting on NIL stuff for high schoolers? Do you think high schoolers should be able to make money off their name, image, and likeness in Ohio?
Whatever, man. Let them do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I think that this is so, at this point, you got to, right? The reason why they're going to do it is because Texas is allowing, there's other states that are allowing it. And so if Ohio doesn't, those kids are going to leave. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they have another option. I'm all about it. Have at it, man.
This is cool. I thought about a couple things when I saw the voting happen. Do you remember the swimmer, Katie Ledecky?
Yeah.
That was a freak. So she made her first Olympic appearance when she was in high school still. And she turned down Gatorade, Nike, all these endorsement deals, because she still wanted to swim at her high school meets while she was after she got back from the Olympics. And I thought about that. Ridiculous,
right?
Yeah, I thought about that person first. It's like, geez.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. I mean, we let the fucking Olsen twins make millions of dollars when they're 2-3 years old, but some kid that's really talented at sports can't make money off their name, image, and likeness. Like, fuck you. If that person's an actor, they can. If they have a YouTube channel, they can. Why can't they if they fucking play football or swim? That's just stupid. It doesn't make any sense. I think there needs to be guidelines. Otherwise, you get tampering. That's what I've been saying for a year and a half. But outside of that, yeah, let them make the money. Like, they've earned it. And the best part is, who are you, you stiff fuck who's talented at nothing, to tell them that they can't? That's the best part, right? It's not like fucking Herschel Walker or, you know, some great football player. It's not like Tom Brady is sitting there saying, no, not yet. No, it's some fucking stiff, fat white guy that's like, I don't think that's right. Like, bitch, that's because you can't run or throw and never could. Like, shut your ass up. What are we talking about? Who are you to decide what that kid can do? It's just, yeah. It's nuts. So yeah, I think they should. I think they should be allowed to do it. I think they should be allowed to make the money. And if they're underage, it should be, you know, their parents have to handle that, right? What are you going to do? Are you going to let the kid make $100,000 at 14? Well, that'd probably be pretty dumb. I'd create a trust or some kind of savings account for them so that they don't blow $100,000 on like bubble gum or whatever the hell 14-year-olds do. But I guess that's my stance. That's where I stand on it, Chris.
I thought about it. I was on my local radio morning show in the news station this morning, and they were asking me my thoughts on it. And the point I brought up was, if there is a band at school, like whatever orchestra, that kid that's good at the saxophone could play in his high school band at the football game. And then that same kid could go set up a gig at the local jazz bar and go play jazz in front of people and make money off of it.
Yeah.
But the athlete, God forbid he can't make a dollar. God forbid he can't put on a youth skills camp and charge $10 a person. God forbid he can't go out there and work with somebody and make a little bit of money. Like, it's ridiculous. God, I mean, we have a 3-on-3 tournament here locally. And if you're a high school athlete, you can't win any of the prize money at the end. Because
stupid.
Exactly. Stupid. And it's like that. No, that guy that's playing at the halftime, the performance for your thing, he can go to a jazz bar, go play the saxophone for a couple hours, come home with a couple $100, and nobody bats an eye. Nobody cares. It's celebrated.
Yeah.
Like the NCAA having the commercial. I remember a while back they had a commercial about the life of a student athlete, and they paid a kid from acting club to go through this, you know, this life of a student athlete, but the athlete couldn't be in it.
Yeah.
Let the kids make money. Fuck it.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with that. So
I agree. I think this is an interesting comment. Appreciate the super chat. It was a little bit ago, but we're going to get to it now. The comment is made on our live video right here that the SEC wouldn't be as dominant as it is if the Miami Hurricanes didn't fall off the way it did. Them falling off changed everything. Do menaces agree? I think that's a great point because Miami had a lockdown on South Florida and they were getting fucking everyone and they were almost dynastic, right? And when they fell off, they had sanctions, all kinds of shit happened, then miserable coaches that just didn't do a good job. That opened the floodgates in South Florida for those kids to leave. And it wasn't as common. I wouldn't say that that was the only reason the SEC became so dominant. I think the Big Ten had a lot to do with it because they became archaic. I mean, before Urban came into the Big Ten, they didn't recruit hard at all. And the SEC were savages in recruiting. Also setting up all the back channeling and shit you're watching now in front of your live eyes. The SEC was cheating their ass off. And the Big Ten was just basically like, we're going to recruit like Ohio State recruited Ohio kids. And every now and then they'd recruit like a national kid. Rarely. Whereas if you were Florida, when we were there, Alabama, I mean, you were going coast to coast, wherever the best players in the world were. So yeah, I think Miami definitely had something to do with it. Them falling off opened the floodgates in South Florida, but it's not like they were just raking in kids from Georgia, Alabama, the Carolinas. I mean, they were living off the talent in South Florida, which is huge. So I think them falling off really opened the floodgates. And I know even for us at Florida, when we got there, you had Bobby Bowden and Larry Coker, two old ass guys running those two programs, and Urban just started beating their ass in recruiting, and it really changed everything.
So what I pulled from this, Zach, is Ohio State gave birth to the SEC. So they are the grandfather. They dicked down Miami, broke that team, broke their program, plus the sanctions, and then gave birth to the SEC because Florida is the most talented state in high school football, in my opinion. That's the hottest bed of talent. I think they're just ridiculous. I mean, the skill players come out of Florida are absolutely insane. And so, yes, Miami falling off did definitely have something to do with it. Now, I'm curious to know, do you think Miami getting back to a position of power, do you think that will end up in long-term hurting the SEC, or is the SEC way too established? Or can Mario be a little thorn in their side?
Well, you're watching it with what happens in LA. You're watching it with what happens in the DMV, St. Louis. Like, those places, once they become transient, right, those recruits, it's cool to leave, right? Whereas it's the opposite of Louisiana and the state of Alabama, where it's you better not leave, right? Mm-hmm. Once it's okay to leave, it's cool to leave. It's not abnormal to leave. It's almost impossible to build a fence and keep it locked down. Probably impossible, but if not, it's almost impossible. So I don't think Miami, even if they, you know, go on a dynastic run, they are one of the top three programs in college football. I don't think they'll ever lock down South Florida like they had it back in the 80s and 90s. I just don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. It'll certainly help them land some of those big time recruits, which will in turn hurt wherever else they could have went, the SEC or wherever. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they're going to be able to just lock it down. No.
Hurt. I do want to ask you, Zach, about Texas. I'm really curious because they have Sark there, they have Bijan there, they have Quinn Ewers. I mean, they have weapons there, and people are talking about they could have one of the better offenses in the country. Zach, if Texas can't win with Quinn Ewers during his career, will they ever actually be back?
You can never say never. It's just going to be. I think Sark's the right coach. It's going to be. They got it. They have to have the culture on defense, mm-hmm. To fly around and tackle well, and play fundamentally sound defense. Then they need playmakers, right? They really haven't had playmakers on the perimeter. I think they got a great running back. Quinn Ewers obviously has all the talent and potential. But I think that the real issue right now is, all right, who's going to be on the perimeter? I know they brought in the kid from Alabama. Like I know all the storylines.
Xavier Worthy kid as well. People think the Xavier Worthy kid can really play. I don't know yet. I think he can only run a go route. That's all I think. I don't think he's dynamic enough to be.
We'll find out. But that's the reality. I mean, they need to. You look at what we did at Ohio State. You look at Alabama. You look at the Clemson. I mean, you got to recruit big time players on both sides of the ball, on the perimeter, in the backfield, on the line. Like you got to really do it right. To get back, I think Sark's the right guy, and Texas is certainly capable. Christ, it might be the best job in the country if you go down and look at the facilities and the locale and the talent around you. I mean, I would argue that it might be the number one job in college football. And I mean, so it's possible. They just got to do it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, if they can't manage to win under Quinn Ewers, I'll start to get really concerned. With Sark and Quinn Ewers, you would think with the support in the NIL, like, They have to win here really, really soon. And you want, and my thing about maybe they never get back is they're going to be stepping into alliance then in 2 years, Zach. Like they have 24 months to get this train going and going fast because Texas A&M's not slowing down. Bama's not slowing down until Saban retires. I mean, Georgia's there. Like it's going to get really real. So I am really curious to know that, well, Quinn Ewers has to get it done really quickly, and so does Sark. I do want to ask you, Zach, about Ohio State. This is from Thomas. He's wanted to ask about the topic for a while, about walk-ons. How much of an impact do walk-ons have? Do you spend less time coaching them than your main scholarship players? And who is your favorite walk-on player?
Walk-ons are incredibly valuable, not only for your room, but on the field. I mean, a lot of times they make up the scout teams. And, you couldn't have your program. Like, Ohio State would not be Ohio State without their walk-ons. They just wouldn't. And every now and then you get a guy like CJ Saunders who can really fucking play. And he ends up getting on the field. And that's awesome to see. That's why most of them walk on. Some of them just walk on to be a part of it. They want to be a part of Ohio State football. They know they're not going to play. And they see the kids on the field. And they know, damn, I can't do that. But it's awesome. It's really awesome. It's probably was one of the more fun perks of coaching was guys like Devlin McDaniel. And I had a crew. I think I've told the story before. We had in my room, I coached mostly black kids, right? Not mostly, all black kids. And then they all sat, like I always put them in like starters in the first row, second string in the second row. I would mix it up, but I always put my walk-ons in the back. And so I don't remember who it was. Someone walked in and was like, look back at, I had like five white walk-ons in the back row. And they were like, these motherfuckers are the cabinet. Like they're the board of directors of the room. They sit in the back and watch what's going on and they're in charge. And so we started calling them the cabinet.
That's dope.
and they were, and then all of a sudden one day, Corey Smith wasn't sitting in his seat. He was sitting in the back with them. And I'm like, Corey, what are you doing? He's like, Coach, I don't know much, but I know I want to be friends with these dudes because after football's done, I need to have these connections. I mean, they're all like business majors, 3.8 GPAs, like probably going to be worth a fortune. And so they were really fun to coach. I loved it. Yet you obviously don't coach them as much as your starters or your and I coach CJ Saunders as much as anyone because he kind of got in that too deep. And then he became one of the guys that I coached more. But you can't, if you have 15 guys in a room, you can't spend a ton of time on guys that aren't going to play for you. You just can't. It would be bad coaching. It would be a disservice to the kids that are going to play. And then your product on the field wouldn't be near as good.
Right. Definitely disservice to the team. I like walk-ons, man. Xavier Johnson in that spring game was cooking kids and he's been kind of getting cooking kids off camp. So that's really fun to see. I think he was a running back first and then receiver. I don't know too much about him, but Zach, last question before we get out of here. First of all, happy Friday. I can't remember if I picked your brain about this, but if you're Ohio State, Zach, until the playoffs expand, would you keep playing these big time games like Oregon and Notre Dame early in the year? Or would you pick up cupcakes?
Yeah, why not? You can lose that game and still make the playoffs. Okay. And it's huge. It's huge for recruiting. Those atmospheres, that primetime environment. Obviously, you need to win. I mean, you can't fucking lose or else it looks really bad. But yeah, you got to play them. And I love, I mean, I just had it up. I don't know where it went, but they got some big time games coming up. Yeah, Washington, Georgia, Texas. Washington. I mean, Alabama in the kind of distant
2028.
Future. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And you live for those, right? Mm-hmm. The Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Clemson, like those big time matchups early on, which we didn't have many great ones when I was at Ohio State. We played Cal, Virginia Tech, I guess, kind of was one. But we never had like when Ohio State played USC and Texas and some of those teams back in the day.
I mean, you guys tried. Georgia ducked you a couple times.
Georgia did.
Mm-hmm. And when we scheduled Virginia Tech, they were a top 15 team at the time, but obviously scheduled them so far in advance, teams fall off.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, right? It's like you schedule Alabama in 2028 and it's like, all right, Nick Saban retires in 2025. They may be awful in 2028. And then you're like, well, shit, they were the biggest dynasty in college football history when we scheduled it.
The bee's knees. We tried. We're not scared. I know. I love it. I like playing big time. I like playing big time schools. And I would hope, I want to see a school from the South come up to the North. Like I would love to play a home and home against Florida. Like early in the year.
Ohio State did it. They played Miami at home. This is eons ago, but they played Miami at home.
Played USC at the Terrell Pryor versus Matt Barkley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's happened. It's just it's not as likely. Tough. A lot of times those teams just want to do a neutral site game and get it over with. But yeah, I love
bitches.
It.
They're scared.
But people say that. It's like, what are you talking about? They'll come up week two or week three. You're not scheduling late in the year. It's going to be fucking 88 degrees. Like, who cares?
No, like, they're bitches.
No, you're being ridiculous. It doesn't matter. Like, they come up to Ohio and it's like, it's actually a little cooler. I love this. It's more convenient. It's easier. So it's not, if you want to talk about coming up in November, or if you want to talk about a home playoff game, that's totally different. But scheduling Alabama to come up to Columbus would be awesome, but it's not like they're going to struggle because of the weather. It's fucking September 13th.
And you talked about it before. You said that South Florida heat is worse than the cold, like in terms of playing it. So, like,
you go down to Gainesville and play a noon or a 3:30 game early in the season. You will. I mean, they had tents, IVs, carting people out. It's brutal, brutal heat.
And the away team, did they get those amenities, or are they just like, they're just fucked when they get there?
Well, they got to bring them. I mean, obviously, if someone's going to die, like, if anyone's going to help, but yeah, I mean, you got to bring, we used to have winter coats that had pumped AC in it. I mean, they have so much technology to kind of keep people cool, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you get in that greenhouse in Gainesville and it's a nightmare.
Ooh-wee. All right, Zach, I got nothing else for today. Do you have anything else you want to hit?
No, that's all I got. Check out Zone 6. I'm going to say it every day. Check out zone6.com. Appreciate everybody. Menace out. Menace.